For the KFSK News Department, I'm Joe Vicnicki. This is the Borough Report for Wednesday, the 27th of November, 2019, and we are focusing on the Harbor Department today. We're a day early because of the Thanksgiving holiday, and you can hear this broadcast live. You can also call in with your questions or comments at 772-3808. Joined in the studio by the Harbor Master, Glorianne Wallen, and the Borough Manager, Steve Giesbrecht. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, sir.
And thanks for this.
Thanksgiving, Joe.
Thank you. Thanks to you. Thanksgiving to you too, and happy early birthday. And it's a big week, and a big entering a big month here with lots of meetings coming up, including one on the dredging report feasibility and an agreement with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. That's next Tuesday at 3 p.m. I think it's in Borough Assembly Chambers. Glo, what is this? We've heard a little bit about South Harbor dredging and what it would mean, but what does it mean to get into an agreement with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and sign up for this project?
Well, we have an amazing opportunity that I, you know, I'm really pleased actually about the timing of. The Corps of Engineers, thanks to our delegation back in D.C., came to Petersburg about 4 years ago and realized we do have a problem in the South Harbor, and they do have a vested interest in making sure that there's enough water for our fleet that fishes a lot of federal fisheries. And so we spent the last 3.5 years studying that, and it came out in a feasibility study this summer. And this, just in October, they have, the higher-ups in the Army Corps have agreed with the facts found in the feasibility study and are going to present the assembly with, or the city of Petersburg, with a plan partnership agreement to actually go forth and partner with us on dredging the basin of the South Harbor.
And you say amazing opportunity because they are, if they sign this agreement, Petersburg does, they're agreeing to pick up a big portion of the cost, also the responsibility going forward for a portion of maintaining that area, right?
That's exactly right. We, as a state, we promoted quite a number of years ago, 10, 12 years ago, you know, the idea to the Corps that they spend a lot of money nationwide on accessing waterways, but very little is spent on some of these low populated areas such as Alaska and Puerto Rico and Hawaii and various different territories and states. And so we propose that they set aside some funding for that. And our delegation got that move forward. And currently the Congress comes up with a number, but it's somewhere between $50 million and $60 million annually that they put out to these regions in dredging possibilities. All of these projects are capped at $10 million, so they spread it around. And Petersburg was the second project with the North Harbor that originated in the Section 107. And because they've been very successful across the nation in doing these types of projects, they've run out of some of the core original federal funded basins. The North Harbor, the docks at both Icicle Seafoods and Ocean Beauty, those were all originally put in by the federal government, and so they have the ownership of maintaining those. And now we have situations where things that were put in by the states or local municipalities are having issues. And because they realize that there is a federal interest in our fleet, again, back to fishing federal waters, they realize that maybe they can expand this program and to include some of these areas like the South Harbor that was originally put in by the state under DOT. But the state, we're in a current situation and have been moving this direction for the last 20 years. They've been getting out of the dredge portion of maintaining harbors. It's not sexy. It's nothing that anybody can see or hang a sign on. So the state and most of the granting opportunities singles out dredging as not an option. So we were kind of really up against a wall in trying to get some of that stuff done because it's such an expense. It's huge.
Yeah. What are the dollar amounts you're talking about here? Have they been updated since?
The construction project alone is $10.6 million, okay. But we've already put roughly $3 million into it, not Petersburg. We've put in $700,000, we propose putting in $380,000. We haven't spent that amount, but we're close to that. And the feds have done the bulk of that work so far, just going through this feasibility study and all of that. So
okay.
They spent a lot of money and are very interested both in the opportunity as well as they have a lot of skin in the game to make this happen.
How does that break down? What is Petersburg responsible for going forward if this project happens then?
It's a bit complicated, but the way they broke the project down is into two parts. There's a general navigation features, which they are willing to take on 80% of, and we would pay for 20%, but it's still the largest cost of the project because it includes MOB and DMOB, it includes administration, it includes design and engineering. So they're picking up $5.8 million. We are on the hook to pay 20% of that general navigation, which is the egress in and out of the harbor, the entrances around the crane dock, the sump that it's at the bottom of Hammer Slough that is filling in the middle harbor, and those general areas that everybody maneuvers in. We are on the hook for the local navigation features, and that amount is, again, it's the 20% plus the general the local navigation, which is 3.7 million. So you add that up, it's 4.6 that we will be on the hook for, 4.7. They'll be on the hook for 5.8, roughly comes into 10.6 is
the
total.
And the local portion of that is the inshore side of things?
It is. It's the individual stalls, mm-hmm. as well as that 400 row up against the beach, because they identify a real responsibility there for subsistence fishermen. They recognize that that is a portion that needs to be done so that we can access sport fishing and subsistence and those kinds of things. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah. Okay. Steve, as borough manager, what's your take on this agreement? Does it make sense for the borough?
It's an absolutely wonderful project. We're talking big dollars, but when you can get the federal government to pay, the lion's share of it, and we get the advantage of making the harbors more navigable for our fleet, both subsistence as well as the commercial boats, it's a win for the borough. Granted, again, it's a lot of money, but that comes along with the process of owning harbors. You've got to keep them dredged out so that the boats can come and go, and that people aren't hung up and having to wait for tides to do business. It becomes an economic driver for us to make sure that harbor is easy to get in and out of. And so I think it's, we'll see what the assembly has to say, but staff is definitely recommending moving forward with it.
Okay. And Glo, for the areas that would be dredged, it's mainly that northern end up against the Ocean Beauty facility. It's not the southern end, has already been dredged relatively recently, right?
Yes, they've identified the areas of the Delta and Charlie floats, C&D floats, the two northern, as well as around the crane dock and the Middle Harbor area. So that's what we're looking at now, and hopefully we'll anticipate doing next year.
Okay, yeah. So let's talk about timeline. Initially, there was talk about possibly a special election for a revenue bond, which is how the borough is still thinking about paying for their share, or
it's up to the assembly to decide. We've got some suggestions on how the harbor board has met. They understand how we're going to fund this on the harbor enterprise fund. we could be looking at borrowing between, you know, $500,000 to $1,000,001, just depending on what the bids come in. So it's not a huge amount in talking with Jody. As you know, if we have to go out for a revenue bond, that's a very, very small number. So there might be other options that we have. And those are things that the assembly, you know, can decide and look at. But, you know, part of our policy is to keep 4 to 6 months worth of revenue in our enterprise funds. So by spending our revenue by spending our enterprise fund and still keeping $800,000 in our account. So there are some options that we have, and hopefully it's not near as scary as it initially sounded. We have the Harbor Enterprise has saved $3.8 million currently as of the last raw fish tax payout. That's what we have in our account right now.
Okay.
So, you know, those are things that we can discuss and see where we're going to come up. Should we need it in 2022 is when kind of the rubber hits the road on final payment. So we've even got some time on our hands. We've got, you know, next year's raw fish tax payout. We've got revenue that that came in this year that we haven't spent. So I'm hoping that number is going to come down from that 1.1.
Okay. Does the Corps still want to get started October 1st?
That's they do. They do. They've spent, you know, a lot of time, and they have congressional appropriations that they have to deal with. And so if we decide to pass on this, the work is done, the studies, the permits are in place. The danger of pushing it off is that will we get allocated that money, or will they go to another project? Will those permits lapse? Those are the kinds of things that they're concerned about if we were to pass on this at this stage. Okay. But it definitely is an option. We could just say, okay, thanks for the work you've done. That study doesn't go anywhere. But like I said, there are things that are, you know, timely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the next step is the Borough Assembly deciding on whether to sign this agreement with the Corps?
Yeah, and the Corps is still sending that through their chain, and so we won't have the draft in front of us at this meeting on Tuesday, but it should be coming really, you know, in the near future. So it's really more of an introduction to the project to the community that's been hearing about it for 3, 4, 5 years. But really, it's a time for people, the assembly, the board, the public, to ask the questions that they need answered in order to make the decision once that draft is in front of them.
Okay. All right. You mentioned raw fish tax, something very important to your reserves and to the general fund. It's kind of split between those two, and it's how you've built up your reserves. I know the governor has talked about getting rid of that payment to municipalities. How are you operating going forward with that looming out there? Are you anticipating it will go away at some point? Question to either of you, yeah. Steve or Glow.
I'll jump in here. That is something that, in fact, the finance director, myself, the mayor, and assembly member Tremblay all just got back from the Alaska Municipal League meeting. And trust me, the whole conversation among communities in Alaska about the state taking municipal revenue is a big topic. And if the governor goes there again, I think there'll be equal pushback to saying no. We have heard through a couple of sources that the governor is not interested in looking at the fish tax this upcoming budget year. Clearly that can change. I mean, it but we'll continue to argue that that's not a good idea. And we're planning going forward based on that information that the raw fish tax will continue to come in and be split between the two, you know, the general fund and the harbor. If that was to change, clearly we'll have to go back to the drawing board and make some plans. But, you know, one of the dangers of planning worst case is that you make changes to things that hurt people or hurt industries, and then maybe you don't need to do that. So one nice thing about Petersburg in the past is we've able to put money aside, and so we've got cushions, and so it allows us the opportunity to plan for good things And if something bad happens, we've got money that we can use to cover those shortfalls while we adjust and come up with a new plan. So, I mean, answering your question, no, we're going to assume we're getting it and go from there.
It's a pretty big chunk of change each year. It's $600,000-$700,000, somewhere around there. Or?
Yeah, it averages about $8 million okay. in the last decade or so. Yeah, and I, you know, just follow along with that. It's a legislative decision. You know, it's not just the governor's decision, yeah. And there are some big heavy hitters that we will be siding in with. You know, when you look at places like Dutch Harbor that rely on 80% of their municipal costs come from that, and places like Seward and Kodiak, and you know, we've got a lot of people on our side. So hopefully that'll be too big of a ball for him to.
We'll find out more to be announced. Yeah, I know that sure. I think the budget proposal comes out mid-December usually. So
yes, sir.
Right.
All right. Let's keep on moving on with topics in the Harbor Department. And reminder, you're welcome to call in with a question or comment, 772-3808. Of course, the dredging is not the only project that the Harbor Department's looking at. Glove been looking at a land exchange with Petro Marine for a while here, and I know there's a study going to be happening about the condition of the land that Petro Marine wants to exchange with the borough. Steve, has that second phase analysis started? What's happening with that?
We've got an agreement in place with a firm that does this for a living, and they will be here mid-December, and that's kind of snow dependent, but as long as there's not too much snow on the ground, our public works department will help with some excavation to set up some monitoring wells. And basically that'll be studied for kind of an 8 to 10 week period. And then we'll go from there. And I like to tell people on that project, you know, there's opinions on both sides of this issue. It's probably best just to relax a little bit. Petro's paying the lion's share of this study, and they're interested in knowing what the condition is. We'll go through that, and based on that, my guess is it'll answer the questions that we should go forward with the land swap or maybe take another look at it if there's an issue with contamination. So just kind of that whole be patient thing, and it's hard for us to do that sometimes. We definitely need a better shop for the harbor, and this is a good opportunity as long as everything works in our favor that we're not looking at an undisclosed problem to deal with. So.
And that'll be a couple months long, that
yes, sir.
Latest analysis.
It'll take some time, and then we'll have a better answer. And at that point, the assembly and folks can potentially have a better idea what decision to make.
Okay. Glow, you've heard about those concerns, also the mold report that's come back. Does this project still make sense as a place for maintenance for your workers?
Yeah, we're continuing to advocate for this because it's, you know, we've absorbed the lost lease money, and we figure we can handle the initial proposed trade amount as well as other things that come up. But like Steve said, you know, we have to wait till everything's said and done before we make those decisions. But yeah, it still far outweighs the other options, which we continue to flesh out. I think you've probably heard me speak of about 10 different options we've had, and this still comes in as definitely one that makes sense.
Okay. We're going to keep jumping around different topics. 2020 season not too far away, and I know there's always talk about how the allocation of the waterfront, or how it's used basically between a busy fishing fleet, the cruise ships that dock here in town. What does it look like for 2020 between with the drive down dock and how that's used, other parts of the waterfront, and are you able to juggle the competing needs along the waterfront these days?
Yeah, I always ask people, what in the world did we do before that drive down was here? But we're noticing, I was just going over it with Eddie yesterday, because typically in November we send out a request to the different tour ship companies to say, okay, we're looking to put the calendar together, and what's your schedule like? We've gotten some back already, and it's looking like it's going to be a far less busy summer in that arena. Last year we had 146 stops. And in 2018, we had 134 stops. This year so far, we've got 64. One of the biggest things that has happened is we've got word that the Lindblad smaller ships, the Seabird and Sea Lion, have changed their venue and are no longer going to come to Petersburg. I think they're going to go to Wrangell more commonly. They're going to stop here, kind of coming and going maybe 2-3 times over the summer. So kind of what's happened is Lindblad is also, those Nat Geo boats have started building bigger ships. So that's what we're seeing. We're seeing ships that are larger in size want to show up. The Hootagruten is one that's going to come in 6 or 7 times next year. Too big for us to tie up, so they're going to lighter in, anchor out in front, or anchor out in front of town, probably not even in the Narrows, and then lighter in and out of the South Harbor. That being said, with the bigger boats, of course, the attraction is using the port dock, which is there just south of Petromarine, and the drive down facility. So I don't know that we'll see that much less traffic there, but we definitely are going to see less traffic in the South Harbor loading zone.
Imagine it's an issue too of getting bigger boats into that normal spot where the smaller ships tie up, right? I mean, just draft in there.
Yeah, they can't turn around in there when they start getting, you know, over about 150 feet. So yeah, so I don't know. It's just a change. You know, that's the only constant is change. And this is, you know, this industry is now going through another change and looking at we're seeing larger, they call them their small boats, but we're seeing larger vessels.
Do the days of the week look the same for when the cruise ships are tied up versus when the fleet's out fishing?
We try, you know, the Petromarine and I work together on the schedule, trying to identify which are the better days for them to handle traffic, what are the better days for us to handle traffic, and we try to be very consistent on that so that it doesn't surprise people. We post it at the tops of the ramps, we put it on our borough website, and try and get the word out so that there's a lot of forward notice. That being said, you know, we have concerns now about this wastewater and dumping it out in our borough waters. And so there's increased requests coming through the wastewater plant to get pump out service. The only way they can do that is to use our swap loader, put a tank on it that carries roughly 2,000 gallons. I think it's a little less than that. Come down to the side of the boat, pump the boat off, and then deal with it, you know, in an environmentally safe way, come through our system. Problem with that, of course, from the fleet size is they need to do that at the drive down. So there's increased requests for the face of that drive down. So again, I don't think that we'll see less traffic there. We may even see some more. So.
Okay. And have you looked at all about possibilities for a hard pump out location where that could go?
Yep, we did. I've talked to both Justin Haley and Carl. Carl actually has thrown some numbers together, and it's relatively, you know, I think affordable. We've looked at both the drive down location as well as the port dock. Consider the port dock just because that's where we can get the biggest ship in. We can tie up a boat under 300 feet, but at the port dock, whereas we're pretty limited to about that 200-foot length at the drive down because we can't go any, you know, you can't shut down the entrance to the South Harbor or to the airplane float. So we're pretty limited on what we can tie up there. So, you know, that's going to be, you know, a community, real community decision on if we go, or maybe we put dump outs, you know, pump outs everywhere. You know, there's options that we could do.
Is there not enough room or draft at that bulkhead on the side of the drive down dock, or?
That would be a good place for smaller vessels. The most, you know, other than the cruise ships, we get a lot of requests from yachters. So that could be a possibility for, you know, smaller size vessels there. And it could be, we also have leasable space out by Petro, off of the Dock Street. Maybe we could put a float in there. You know, heck, maybe we could even put one in down at the loading zone in the South Harbor for smaller boats. But wherever it is, it'll increase traffic. So that's the thing to really keep in mind is where do we want the traffic and where can we handle the traffic? So I've got lots of ideas. And realistically, you know, the costs are, I think Carl quoted me, you know, you're looking at $50,000 for the port dock and $85,000 for the drive down. And much of that is the utility, you know, getting the pipe out to wherever the location is. The pump itself is $25,000.
So. Okay. So well within the range of the new cruise ship fee, passenger fee that's being collected.
Possibly, okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll be interesting discussion going forward. Let's just jump around to a couple other topics. Critical habitat for whales. Is that a concern for the borough coming up going forward in terms of your end of things, which I'm thinking is like permitting projects, in-water construction, that kind of thing? And is that something you're going to be commenting on when the Corps comes here, or not the Corps, excuse me, the NIMS comes here in January?
Yeah, NOAA Fisheries will be coming to town, and we've requested a formal hearing, which is an opportunity for them to give a presentation and then people to put comments on the record. They have extended the comment period to the end of January, and which is really good, so it gives us an opportunity to hear what they have to say and listen to other people's questions that are closer to this. We're hoping not only fishermen show up, but, you know, you're exactly right, the in-water construction team, people like Tamiko, you know, that work in this environment are going to know things about this that the borough doesn't necessarily know. So we are looking to hear comments from people to know what the borough should comment on and say. So far, NOAA Fisheries has been great as far as cooperating and having a hearing here, and we want that to continue, and we'll see what happens. But it is a concern. We're very concerned about any increase that would cause more permits, more costly permits. You know, Glow talked about the dredging process. One of the big studies was, what do you do with the dredge spoils? And that potentially would run right up against this habitat issue versus, you know, being able to get rid of dredge spoils in Frederick Sound or having to haul it someplace. So I think this is a pretty big issue. We need to pay attention to it, and hopefully folks show up and let us know what's going on.
And I think it's something that we have been dealing with for a number of years for on a number of our projects, and the fishing fleet hasn't realized the efforts that have gone into what we have to do permit-wise. I mean, you sit down and talk to Jimmy Martinson with Tamiko, and it's a huge study he has to fund prior to even, you know, starting to drive any piling that are become requirements for that industry. You know, even this dredge project, we've working with the federal government, they were able to secure us 100 meters, which is 300 feet of a zone around the work, versus other projects that have had 800 meters or
are up in a buffer zone for when you have to shut down operations. Or
I've talked to Jim Dick Somerville up in Juneau, and he's looking at a mile and a half where he has to patrol and have a steady patrol so that they could work at all times of the day or night. And it costs, it's a big expense, as well as just the process of going through the permitting, and nobody really knows where they stand. And so it's been kind of a convoluted thing, but I'm glad it's coming to a head. And I think the commissioner was spot on when he, you know, made his testimony, and that they haven't come through and looked at science or talked to the fish and game or done anything in respect to, you know, kind of how we operate here. So I hope a lot of people do turn out and commit to putting their name on the record, as this is not, It's not good.
Just highlight again that hearing now on January 6th initially was talked about December 6th, but moved back a month, January 6th here in Petersburg. Well, we did generate a call. Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
Well, yes, I do. It's Dave Berg calling. I wanted to, you know, publicly extend our thanks to GLO and the staff at the Harbor Office for doing their best to accommodate both visitors and visiting yachts and small cruise ships, you know, in the facility. As we develop more of this type of visitor industry into Petersburg, which benefits our local economy, we have to have a workable solution for them to be able to dock and access our beautiful town that we've got, that we, you know, try to share with people, but yet not adversely affect our local, local way of life, to an extent that's uncomfortable, shall we say. The ships come and they pay their fees and contribute, to the economy of the town. And it's just really important for us to have a good working relationship as an agent for ships, so that we have a good relationship with our staff there at the Harbor Office, and I see that we have that, it's real important to visitors and the community alike to have a staff that's responsible and you can reach out to and you can work out problems, and I want to thank you.
Okay, thanks for the comment, Dave. Hey, while we got you on the phone here, we're seeing the largest cruise corporations putting millions of dollars into buying up land and building docks in the bigger communities. Is that a possibility here in Petersburg?
Well, I honestly don't see that happening here because of the location where we are at the top of Rainbow Narrows and down at the bottom of Frederick Sound. Petersburg is kind of unique in our ability to only take small ships when we talk about small, we're talking, like this coming up in 2020 with Herders coming here with 500 people and those ships will be lightering out. I don't see a lot of land available. I don't see the attraction here for larger ships to come in and build a dock, for instance, out on Hungry Point or someplace where they might be able to find land to be able to come in. Our infrastructure in town won't support those larger ships, and for someone to be interested in that, they have to have a number of ships coming every week to use that facility. I just don't think that they're interested in us, personally.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Sure. Yeah, you bet. Always happy to talk about cruise ships. As you know, Joe, you've been good about sharing what we know, and we appreciate it.
Anything you want to add about the upcoming 2020 season while we got you on the line about the cruise ships that we'll be visiting here?
Well, we do have, a kind of a relaxation of port calls from Lindblad, National Geographic Lindblad ships. The Sea Line won't be calling here but once in this coming season, and they've called, on a weekly basis about 18 port calls. So that's going to be a drop in small ships that we've got. Also affecting that is on cruise. They're dropping off of their schedule where they're returning the Safari Quest here in town. So we're not going to see that business either in the hotels and people staying overnight before and after the ships, and also in the harbor. So it's a changing changing environment. Well, unfortunately, Lindblad, sees the benefit of coming in with both the Quest and the Venture. They're larger ships at 100 passengers, and we're continuing to see the strong presence of American cruise lines on a larger basis here this year, or in 2020. We're still on the map, but people that have come here for a long time on a set itinerary, say on a 7-day from Juneau to Sitka or vice versa, like Lindblad, have received comments from their passengers that, we've been to Petersburg, four times now, and they've only been here, they haven't been here 24 hours yet on all those four times. But they've seen that part of the itinerary, and they're repeat passengers, so they'd like to see something different. So I think that's what we're seeing. It doesn't mean that that they won't change that operation and come back here again if they aren't successful or whatever. But we have to continue to be on our best game here to be able to offer people, offer companies, what we feel like their visitors are going to be interested in. So we'll try to do that and make their experience in the Petersburg the best it can be.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Sure. Yep. You bet.
Follow up with what Dave was talking about, too. We are seeing, some of the larger ships coming in, but we all, and some of the smaller ships, like he said, changing their venues, and, can't blame them for that. But we are seeing a lot of some of those pay for a whole ship and take your entire family charters, maybe 7 to 10, that would like to home base out of Petersburg. I've got increase, people calling, requesting. The problem is we don't have permanent stalls for them. They really want that in order to base out of Petersburg. But that is really becoming, maybe an opportunity for us that it would be a nice place to turn around some of these smaller charter boats.
Established charters, yeah. Versus a cruise.
And talking to Mara at the Chamber of Commerce, she said what they've noticed, she and Liz have gone off to some of these conferences, and they talk about that the millennials now are looking at having a little bit shorter time. So instead of a 7 or 8 day cruise, which really eats up a couple of weeks, they're looking for more something along the 4 or 5 days. So maybe that's part of the reason some of these companies are switching things up as well, is to try and attract a different segment of the population.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Dave. And I know we're running a little bit long here. I have a long list of topics to cover. anything else we want to dive into? We've talked about mainly stuff in the downtown area and the main harbor area, but there is harbor involvement in the Scow Bay area and the pullout that's happening there. There's talk about what to do with Papke's Landing and other remote docks. From the Harbor Department standpoint, are you looking at some of these other facilities outside of the downtown area, and what's the focus?
Yeah, you bet. The future is probably for another harbor, if we were to entertain doing that in the future, would be in that Scow Bay area. And because the borough owns the property, it's a natural place that we would go. It also has been looked at through this feasibility study by the Corps. I would propose that, because we have such a good relationship with them on the North Harbor, let's try and seek something out again with a new harbor in the future, and perhaps getting them to put a basin in. Then they are responsible for it into perpetuity, which is a really nice aspect when it comes to doing these things. So that I would say is something that we always have to maintain as being an industrial site, and the borough own it, and with plans to develop it in that industrial setting.
Okay. How about the three remote docks, Papke's Landing, Entrance Island, and Kuprinoff? Is that a dead issue? Has the state ever come back with a response to the borough and what it's interested in? Or,
well, I mean, I think it's been clear that for a while the state wants to be out of the harbor business, and it's not being talked about at the moment. Doesn't mean it won't come back. I believe City of Kuprinoff actually has engaged directly with Alaska DOT on.
Some improvements that dock.
I think they did, and but beyond that, I don't know the details of agreements that they have with the state. You know, occasionally Entrance Island still comes up, and I don't believe at this point the assembly has any interest in doing work out there, but that could change. Papke's is a tough one because I think there's definitely a need, and it's used by people throughout the borough. It's just a matter of the state doesn't want to give the money to fix it. We don't have the money to fix it, and we're very concerned about taking it over and then having a big maintenance issue that is beyond our means to get it up to speed. But it is clearly a community asset, and at some point we're going to have to spend some time thinking about it and talking about it. We're just not there yet.
Okay.
Or the assembly's not there yet. I shouldn't speak for them.
Okay. All right. And I had a caller earlier. Wanted me to ask about the Ocean Beauty facility, and does that figure into any plans? I know the borough doesn't have $3 million to buy that, but that's a major piece of the waterfront that's just sitting there unused.
Well, I tell you, we'd love it if someone would buy it. At this point, the borough is not entertaining ideas to buy it, although that's been floated. Mm-hmm. We have an ongoing list in PEDC of what do we call that?
Yeah,
crazy idea, yeah, crazy ideas and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was one of them that's on the list, and it stays on there, which is, you know, buy it and turn it into a cruise ship dock and shops and restaurants. And
weekly I have people come through with brilliant ideas for that. And I can see where we could make hundreds of dollars off of this.
Yes, yeah.
Hundreds. Yeah. But beyond that, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Steve said, it's, you know, who knows what the future holds. So,
okay.
As far as outside areas too, I guess, you know, we're, as our borough expands and has looked at, we have quite a little settlement out in the Agassiz, Point Agassiz,
yeah, good point.
Thomas Bay area. And I've, you know, I've had families from those areas come in and start to talk about, you know, progression out there and perhaps, you know, doing something either as a, I don't know, a service area or as a homeowners or a landowners, you know, coming to the borough to help sponsor maybe a RAC grant or something like that. So I can think in the future we'll start looking at, you know, probably some type of development or partnership or something in those areas. There's a lot of families that have property and homes out in that neck of the woods too. So,
okay. Great. Let's see, other harbor operations or news you want to cover that we haven't gotten to or things important to highlight?
Well, you know, I guess I want it to be said that, you know, especially when we come back to some of these opportunities that are come our way, a lot of times it's almost like a divine intervention. You know, even this feasibility study that's led to this opportunity with the Corps, it's, you know, it's pretty wonderful that Petersburg is in a position to be able to even talk about funding a portion of our portion of it. While the state is, you know, kind of going through the turmoil, we're able to stop, change direction, and move forward with that. And I think that is just, I mean, just a shout out to our community that there's a lot of pre-planning and a lot of these meetings that we have and a lot of these things that we do, whether it's comprehensive plans or that really helps to set the stage so that when an opportunity comes by, you know, you see Carl doing this all the time, we're able to jump on it because we've saved a little bit and we've actually started to look at some of those opportunities. And I really appreciate that the leadership with assembly and with Steve and past borough managers. Also, to appreciate that the borough is committed to having a presence in both Juneau and Washington, D.C. I think it's just invaluable, the lobbyists that we have in both of those places that really, you know, let us know when there's opportunities that come up or there's, you know, even like this marine, you know, whale issue that we're having. The lobbyist was on it and he was pushing for, you know, a local meeting for on our behalf. And I guess I really want the community to understand that those are dollars well spent. The harbor right now, we have in the past for the last 15, 20 years have always partnered with the general fund to afford that lobbyist. And it's really, really helped us on a lot of things. So just continue that commitment and for people to realize that it's money well spent.
Steve, anything on your end?
No, just it's thanks for all the support. Happy holidays to everybody. And
speaking of holidays, Glow wanted to mention Pickled Herring Contest, oh, yeah. which is just a week from today.
And there's an I've heard there's an art event on December 6th that's coming up here.
There is. I am furiously painting in the final moments. So
for those listening, Joe's got an art show at the Firelight Gallery on the 6th. Yep. So don't forget it.
But Pickle Herring, Glow, are you throwing down the gauntlet to your other competitors?
Defiant. Thank you to Justin Peeler and the boys on the Defiant for bringing in a nice load. And Helmer and I were down there hand picking out our sill, and we were kind of excited to hear Sig was out of town.
He's back though.
But he's back. Yep. And I'm sure he has his his recipes already. So yeah, everybody show up next Wednesday and take a taste.
Incredible seafood tasting if you've never been to it. But all right. Well, thank you both very much. This is the Borough Report. We'll be back in about a month with the next one in a different department. Coming up next, Street Beat Music on KFSK.